This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
This is session 4 of our study of the 1 Corinthians letter. Our passage is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 to 6, and I've entitled it Graces and Gifts. As he does so often, after Paul's formal salutation, he includes a slightly more personal expression of thanksgiving for the Corinthians. Sort of. In verse 3, he expresses his desire for them to have and experience grace and peace. In verses 4 to 7, Paul gives thanks that they indeed have grace and more. Verses 4 to 9 can and should be interpreted in two ways. First, in a positive, affirming sense, Paul is describing who and what the Corinthians are, what they have in Christ, and how regularly they are in his prayers. But second, in a not necessarily negative, but artful way of setting them up for the argument that follows, Paul establishes how well equipped they are in Christ Jesus for a holy, righteous life. That's the good news. The bad news is, implied, here at least, so why aren't you living that way? This section in Paul's letters, typically just after the greeting, is not boilerplate. These words expressed by a politician or maybe even one of us might be empty twaddle. Expressed by Paul, they are another window onto the state of this church. For a comparison, let's read the corresponding section in the 1 Thessalonians letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Here's what he writes to that church. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Now, let's read the next paragraph in our Corinthian passage, verses 4 to 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I'd put the question to you. What is missing? What is missing in the second passage in 1 Corinthians that was there in the 1 Thessalonians passage? The answer is any mention of their good works, their love for each other, their generosity toward the saints, etc. This entire section speaks of what God has done and will do for them in Christ Jesus, not about what they are doing with his gifts to them. And that's a big difference. This is not boilerplate. Paul has this church in mind as he says these things. And that reveals the difference between the Thessalonian church and the Corinthian church. So let's look at verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you. The recipient of Paul's thanksgiving he refers to as my God. The NIV alone follows two earlier manuscripts that do not include my. Something he said to his worried shipmates in Acts gives us an idea of what he means by saying, "My God." Here's what he is quoted as saying in Acts 27. "For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me." That's verse 23. So, the God to whom Paul belongs and the God he serves is the one to whom he offers thanksgiving. That's what he means by "my God." He belongs to him and he serves him. He does this always, he says. That is, every when, or at all times, at every opportunity. Regarding the Corinthians, for what does he give thanks? Paul writes that he gives thanks for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. With an understanding of the many problems in the Corinthian church, some read sarcasm here. Not at all. There's nothing false or cynical said here. Paul will employ sarcasm elsewhere in this letter. For example, chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. But here he is honestly giving thanks to God for what he, God, has given them. Grace, Christ Jesus, knowledge, multiple and varied gifts, and, not least, fellowship with Jesus Christ our Lord. His approach is, "I thank God for all he has given you. Now, why aren't you doing more with it?" Note, Paul's emphasis is not contingent on the church's laxity. Even if its members were a laudable, supreme example of service, love, generosity, piety, Paul must, and he would, give thanks to God first. For the Lord is the source and giver of it all. For example, even to his beloved Philippians, he begins, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." So he's not thanking God just because the Corinthians have been so lax in all these areas. He's thanking God because he deserves to be thanked first. He is the source. Now, the word grace, in the Greek charis, is a flexible word that can refer to all sorts of things. So we must do our best to understand what Paul means by its use here. Is he saying that the members of the church deport themselves with grace? That they are a gracious bunch of people? Is he thanking God for saving them by his grace? Well, a strong case can be made by the context of this paragraph, verses 4 to 9, that what Paul has in mind here are the spiritual graces or gifts bestowed by God. The best evidence for that is in verse 7. "So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." Gift here in verse 7 is charisma, a implied divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment, and sometimes a miraculous faculty. Not always, but sometimes miraculous. The NIV explicitly inserts the adjective "spiritual" before "gift," although in a sense that's redundant, since all gifts are theirs from God, who is, after all, Spirit, in Christ Jesus. For the Christian, all gifts are spiritual, as James tells us. Look at James 1, please. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. The brother of our Lord writes, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Later in this letter, Paul will devote considerable time and ink chapters 12 to 14 in our Bibles, to the church's proper use of these gifts. Here, he simply gives thanks to God for them. And now, I want to introduce a new thing in my studies. Periodically, as some of you know, I will say, quick sidebar here, or a sidebar, and that is, a sidebar is generally additional information. In fact, sometimes I might leave them out if I'm running out of time. They expand on information already given. Or I might say, as I have already in this study, note for further clarification. Well, now I'm going to introduce a new one. A new side thing. Just a thought. Remember when Paul writes, now this is from the Lord, not from me, from the Lord. And then later he'll say, well, this is just from me, not from the Lord. Well, that's kind of what I'm doing here. I'm just saying, this is just a thought, something to think about, something to ponder. It may be right, it may be wrong. It's just a thought, a what if. So, for here, just a thought. Perhaps the Lord was especially generous to the Corinthians in supernatural gifts, knowing they would need them more than others, living in the corruption and license of Corinth. Just a thought. And there is that word in again. Notice that? For the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Not by, but in. The Corinthians are sanctified in Christ Jesus, in verse 2. And they are given God's graces in Christ Jesus, verse 4. Paul is already addressing one of their big problems, as he describes later. Look at chapter 4 in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 7. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? He says, why do you boast as if these gifts sprang from within you by your will, by your inherent superior qualities? They are from God. And only from him, because you are in Christ. Listen to what David Guzik has to write about this. When Paul looked at the Corinthian church, he could say, these people proclaim Jesus. They know about Jesus. There are the supernatural gifts of God among them, and they are excited about Jesus' return. Guzik writes, whatever problems they had, these are some pretty impressive strong points. Can even this much be said about many churches today? We may pride ourselves on not having the Corinthian problems, but do we have their positives? Yet these positives were no great credit to the Corinthian Christians themselves. They were not the spiritual achievements of the Corinthians, but the work of the grace of God in them. That's David Guzik. He makes a good point to ponder. We have much to say about the laxity and the lack of piety and righteousness in the life of the Corinthians, the members of the Corinthian church, but do we have their positives? Is our church filled with all of these spiritual gifts? Or are we lacking? Is there something about us that God has decided, I'm not going to pour out my gifts on them? More food for thought. But let's move on to verse 5. In verse 5, Paul gets a little more specific about the content of his thanksgiving. In verse 4, he writes, I thank my God always concerning you. Concerning what about them? Well, here he answers it. That in everything you were enriched in him. The Greek word translated enriched means wealthy. In his second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul uses the word literally. Look at that. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. That is, you will be given much so that you will have much to give others, including money, wealth, to send to other churches. But here in the first letter, Paul uses the term more figuratively to refer to the wealth of graces or gifts they possess because they are in Christ. They have been enriched in Him. They have been made wealthy because of their relationship with Christ Jesus. Haven't we all? And then he proceeds to specify two areas in which they are wealthy. In all speech and all knowledge. Don't miss the alls there. All speech, all knowledge. Here are two sometimes mystical words that require deeper examination. They are both familiar. Speech or utterance, depending on your translation, is the familiar logos. John uses it in the first chapter of his gospel to refer to Christ, the Word. But in common parlance, logos means something said, the subject of discourse, the words, communication, speech. And knowledge, gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, is, well, knowledge, understanding. Phi interprets logos, speech, in this context as, quote, in every kind of spiritual utterance, end quote. That is, as we'll see later in this letter, gifts of utterance such as knowledge, wisdom, tongues, prophecy, etc. By gnosis, or knowledge, Paul refers to their insight into spiritual things, such as the mysteries of faith, in chapter 13, verse 2. Paul is walking a narrow line here, broaching a topic that he will develop more fully later. We are familiar with the rest of his letter, so we can imagine what is going through Paul's mind, even as he, once again, thanks God for their gifts of speech and knowledge. Later he'll show that there's too much of the flesh, too much of self in their use of these gifts, that they are worthless if they're not employed in the Spirit and enveloped in love. Let's quickly take a look at how he begins that in chapter 13 of this letter. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Now we come to verse 6, and once again we must bring to a close our study in the middle of another of the apostles' long sentences. We'll revisit verse 6 in our next session as we complete this paragraph, but for now let us complete our thoughts with a brief look at this verse. Even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. What he's saying here is, nevertheless, even if badly realized, their gifts serve as a confirmation, a testimony. Implied here, what he's saying is God the Father confirmed Paul's witness to Christ among them, among the Corinthians, by giving them these spirit giftings. The Spirit gifted them with graces, and this confirmed Paul's witness among them. In other words, it was not for naught. Testimony here is an interesting word, martyrion. But as it is spelled in the original Greek, we have a clue as to what that word has become in our language. M-A-R-T-Y-R-I-O-N. The word martyr is in there. As a martyr gives, by his life, gives testimony to whatever he's standing for. So the word means evidence given, witness. And we can think of this paragraph, which begins in verse 4, we can think of this paragraph as progressive. No, not progressive, as in the New Democrats, but moving from the smaller to the larger, or more precisely here, from the beginning invitation and acceptance. See that in verse 4. The grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. There's the inception. There's the moment of the beginning. To the fruition and filling of that new relationship. In verse 5, you were enriched in him. And to the extent that they, as in verse 7, were not lacking in any gift. So we might summarize what is being said here in verse 6 more succinctly and in slightly more modern vernacular. Paul came, Paul preached. The Spirit came. The Spirit empowered. Testimony confirmed. Now we'll begin here. We'll begin in verse 6 when we next meet, which if you are listening to this or reading the notes, if you are in the habit of downloading these every week from our website, it will be 2 weeks from today, from this class. There will be no class next week.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2017 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. Unless otherwise indicated, Scripture is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lockman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. All resources, both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.